You've probably been told that the parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. That here's a story about life that has a hidden meaning to it. But the parables of Jesus are a little bit more dynamic than that. The hearer tries to work out where he fits into the grand scheme of the story when he hears a parable. Who is he? Is he good or is he evil? Is he right or is he wrong? Can he even understand it without it being explained to him? And that's where the gospel text for today is almost a litmus test. If you can work through this parable, then the rest of the parable shouldn't really be a problem for you. So it's no mistake that this is the first parable that St. Matthew records. You can see where you are right from the start. Jesus is sitting by the Sea of Galilee when the crowds come to him, and he's got to get into a boat because the crowds are so huge. So he floats along the shore of the sea there, teaching the crowd with parables. He gets the crowd thinking about who they are and what they think of him. So if you read this chapter closely, you see that the explanations didn't come until later. Jesus left the crowds hanging that day with just the parables. They had to figure out on their own. The disciples, though, in yet another example of their thick-headedness, had to come and ask for the answers later. And that's the second half of today's gospel reading. It's for good reason that Jesus doesn't explain his words right away. The parables do have a hidden meaning, but the meaning isn't so well hidden that the average person can't figure it out. You've just got to think about it for a while. And in the days of no TV and no Facebook and no social media, people had quite a lot of time to think. So why do people respond differently to God's word? Look at the parable. These words aren't so much about those who are learning about the faith. Instead, it tells of those who have heard God's word and then rejected it. Look again at today's Old Testament reading. The word of Almighty God is powerful, and it will not return to him empty without having accomplished what he desires. So the real mystery is why some of those who have heard God's word do not believe. So this parable answers that mystery in a way. Jesus says a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Here are the people who hear God's word and never believe. You have as much chance of getting through to these people as you do to getting corn to grow out there in the middle of 256. No effort is made to take Jesus' word seriously, so these people don't believe. A few verses later, Jesus says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." They hear the words. They hear the word of God. They may even say, "I get it, I get it." But there's no true understanding, or even the urge to understand. These are those who will share the same fate as Satan if they don't turn. They have no use for God, really. So they ignore him, and they ignore his word. Jesus continues, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away." Sometimes people are overjoyed to hear of the love God has for them. They're thrilled to hear what Jesus has done for them in his work on earth and on the cross. But when tough times come, they fall away. There's a lot of joy at first, but it's a superficial religion, a religion that's bound up in emotion and in feelings and in other changing things. It's Christianity light, really. Less filling, but hey, it tastes great. Because so much of this faith rests on joy and an emotion of the believer. When tough times come and when faith is challenged by the scorching sun of real life problems, that faith withers and dies because there's no stable root system. This faith hasn't matured. Even Jesus' disciples are guilty of this one. I mean, look what happened to them when Jesus was arrested. They ran, they hid, they wept. They didn't see the truth of what Jesus was saying to them for so long. But at least later, they came back. Then there's the third category, where Jesus says other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Now, these are the people who have every intention of producing a good harvest, but something happens. These are those where there are all sorts of other voices clamoring for your attention. The cabin, the lake, your job, your family, sports, your budget, hobbies. Which of these things deserves my attention today? Where should I turn? Maybe even greed and anxiety finally have their way. I want to spend more time in God's Word. I want to spend more time in worship and Bible study, but I've got so many other things to do. Really? Finally, there's the other soil Jesus talks of. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here's the sweet spot. This is where you want to be. The good soil is where all of the production happens. This is where the plants grow and where the work gets done. But what kind of work gets done? Well, here's where you have to make sure that you understand what the seed is and also what the soil is. You are not the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the teaching of Jesus. The seed is what God spreads all over the world. And notice how this seed is planted. It's not dropped in carefully ordered rows in pre-dug holes. No, the sower, God the Father, just gets out there in the field and he's slinging that seed all over the place, not even being careful where it lands. He throws it everywhere because you never know where there might be a patch of good soil. He wants to cover all the possibilities. So he spreads his word, his seed, everywhere indiscriminately. And when that word finds its way into a patch of good soil, it takes root and it starts to grow. And it's tended until it becomes a plant, and then a plant that produces grain or fruit or whatever seed it is to produce. So what grows the seed? And what does it produce? Look back at the other types of soil to see what they are, to see what the good soil is not. There's unbelief, there's shallow faith, and there's faith that is simply one choice among many others. So the seed that lands in the good soil is a seed that doesn't have the competition of other temptations. It has the chance to develop those deep and stable roots in a weed-free area. The Word of God falls into the ears of a receptive heart and it takes root. That seed is nourished and it's fed and it's watered until it sprouts and grows into a mature plant. A mature Christian. And so it's the continual watering and feeding of that plant by spending time here in worship, across the street in Bible study, in prayer, here in confession, here in the reception of the body and blood of Christ that causes that plant to grow. It's the work of God your Father that causes that plant to grow, and it's God's work that causes that plant to produce a crop from 30 to 100 times its original size. Now, to understand that part, you've got to look at the Greek text. Jesus says that the seed kept producing a crop. This isn't a one-time shot that you have. This is the Christian life, led by those who are continually watered and fertilized. Jesus says that these are those who are productive by doing good works as long as they live. It is those who let Christ within them do those things that Christ would do. The good seed producing is nothing more than you being the Christian that God has called you to be. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.